Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, July 29th, the final Wednesday of the month of July, which means the final show of July. Oh. And the reason that was that soon it'll be August. And, of course, after August, you're in the September, and then, you know, summer's about over. And I'm not ready for summer to be over with. I'm really not. I'm just not ready for summer to be over with. And for it to go back to being colder, and that, especially not knowing whether or not we'll even have football in the fall. Hoping that, of course, we will, but who knows? We'll just have to see. But I'm so glad you could join us tonight, wherever you may be, however you're listening to the broadcast, whether it's on your phone, on your laptop, on your desktop. But I can't believe they still make those. I thought the desktop went the way of the dinosaur. No, I don't necessarily believe in dinosaurs, but ancient, at least. Because I haven't had a desktop in many years. I haven't. It's been all laptops. Phone and things like that. But whatever device you're listening to this program on, whether you've called in, whether you're listening on the website, we're so glad you tuned in, whatever you're doing, whether you're making dinner or maybe you are just you know, just sitting, listening, you know, to the show tonight, whatever it is you're doing. We're so glad that you've taken the time to tune in tonight. And prayerfully, you're ready to learn something from the Word of the Lord tonight. As tonight, we're going to be dealing with Daniel and the Lion's Den. And what is the Lion's Den? That you've went through, and whatever that Lion's Den moment is that you've been through, or you know you might be facing, that whatever that thing is, God wants to see you through. Whatever that thing is, and then also I'm gonna challenge you a little bit on faith, because. We are, since the show is called The Miracle Man Show, we believe in faith, strongly believe in faith, you know, faith for miracles, and we need faith just to live, to be honest. I'll give you a little bit of an exhortation on faith, and we'll sing, then we'll get into the Word of the Lord, and then couple of sports notes. For sports, I have a Tigers from last night. What did they do last night? And also, what has the MHSAA decided as of now regarding fall sports? Keep in mind that it's a fluid situation. Could change between now and later in August. And for those of you who think it'll go one way or you think it'll go another way, you know, at this point I don't know what to think. You say, well, we have high school football in the fall? I'm not going to answer that. Why? Because I don't know. I'm not even leaning one way or the other. I think it's 50-50. Will there be fans allowed in the stadium? Well, first of all, it's while they have the games. Like I said, 50-50. It could go a whole lot of different ways. And I know if I told you my opinion and how I think it should be handled, I think there would be some coaches. I know some of the, like the governor in this state, for example, would absolutely despise what I would have to say. As Becky, you already know she would, don't you? Because,
mm-hmm.
In fact, I would say it right now. Open the thing up all the way, full capacity. I'm laughing at your reaction, but I mean, like, they have mismanaged this thing so badly. Way more people have died than what needed to, and it's not. And you say, oh, it's because people didn't stay up and all that. Well, what it is that, you know, there's different things, you know, about this. Hydroxychloroquine, for example, works real well if given early. And they didn't know that early on. I mentioned yesterday that doctor, 350 patients she had seen. In Houston, Texas. Guess how many of them recovered? All of them. Many of them were, one of them was 92 years old. And you figure 92 years old, if she died, would they blame it on the drug or on the age or whatever? But all of them recovered. The amount of time that they spent in the hospital was shortened, especially if they were given the hydroxychloroquine, and it can be given as prevention. But if only we had enough. If only we had enough, well, 300 million people, then I would say that everyone should take that then to prevent it. And for those of you saying, oh, you're dismissing this whole virus, aren't you? No, I'm not. But what I am saying is the amount of fear is totally unreal. And I don't just say that, I'm not just saying that as a Christian either. And I know, listeners, I know, all through this COVID thing, I've been talking to you guys and telling you about no fear here. You know, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And all of that kind of stuff. And he is, you know, and rightly so. I've been saying this because about the, you should not fear. It's not just something, you know, neat to say. I've been doing it to encourage you. But in reality, they hype this thing so much. And now, the reason I mentioned again the hydroxychloroquine thing, like I did yesterday, I wasn't going to, but Google made it so that you can't see it. YouTube made it so, Google, who also owns YouTube, made it so that you can't see it. Facebook made it so you can't see it. Twitter made it so you can't see it. But because apparently they don't want people to know what the actual science says. And I know this isn't a political thing, but where there's hope, I bring it. And I'm not going to say that it's like that this chloroquine is like a savior or whatever, but they say it's that it's a silver bullet, that it can almost work like a vaccine. But moving along, before I talk to you a few minutes about faith and this evidence, I wanted to remind you to stop by your local McDonald's to grab an any size Coca-Cola product for just a low price of $1. And of course, Becky, Coke is your favorite soda, right?
Yes, sir.
Wait, no, you're supposed to tell the truth. Yours.
I like it.
Your actual favorite.
My actual favorite
Mountain Dew. Yeah. I had to throw you on the spotlight there for a second.
How dare you.
Yeah, I had to do that. That's why I made you actually tell the truth about your favorite one, you know?
This is my second favorite.
That's good, at least. Of course, my personal favorite is, of course, the Coca-Cola flavors. Ultimately, when it comes, vanilla is my ultimate favorite, but followed by regular Coke, Cherry Coke. Of course, from McDonald's, regular Coke is my ultimate favorite out of all of them. And it's not just the price either. It's, it really is good, you know, tasty, and it's just, you can go to a local McDonald's and grab it for $1. And while you're there, if you got the McDonald's app, you got the McDonald's app on your phone?
I don't.
If you do, you can, when you give them your email, you can sign up to receive the deals. One of the weekly deals that you're allowed to use once a week is the $1 large fry, which is possibly my favorite, because then you get to get that large fry for just $1. In some places like Ohio, though, it's a daily deal, which I really wish it was here, because you can never go wrong with a large fry from McDonald's. Of course, ultimately, I wish we had like a Sonic or a Steak and Shake up in this area. Sadly, we don't have either. Because Steak and Shake, I could really go for one of those garlic butter burgers right now, garlic double.
Make me hungry.
Who cares?
I care.
My soul. In other words, but in other words, it's like, I know when I was younger, people used to tell me, you know, you better stop talking about this certain food because you're really making hungry. I thought they were being serious, and I learned they kind of were, but also they were kind of kidding. And and this was me being told that when I was like 10. You would think it'd be later on, not at like 10.
I'm hungry now,
though. I'm at like my eight, the age.
Yeah.
How old I was, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this was me to paraphrase. At school like 20 years ago. But you can go through and grab that. Or another one of the really good ones is, you can get 40% off any size shake or McFlurry, which comes in handy also. So you get that Reese's McFlurry. That's normally supposed to be like $2.65 or whatever in your area. You can get that for 40% off, which is not a bad deal. All right. Now, in Hebrews 11, the first verse of Hebrews 11. I'm not going to turn there, but I am going to refer to it. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, as Christians, we're supposed to call forth those things that are not as though they are. Call forth those things that are not as though they are. So you got to see yourself in that new job, with that new car, in that new house, or see yourself healed. Or whatever that thing is that you're believing for. And you've got to be believing God for whatever it is that you're believing for. Another verse that comes to mind is what Jesus says. Therefore, whatsoever you shall ask for in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Another one. Therefore, if you have enough faith to be able to say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be removed and cast into the sea, it shall be done. And but however, with all that faith, one needs to realize this. Faith without works is dead. So you have to put works onto your faith. Works onto your faith. You know, do some things to make that thing come to pass that you're believing for. Yes, say it with your mouth. And honestly, you cannot doubt. Jesus said, if you have faith, then do not doubt. Now, Thomas, one of Jesus' 12 disciples, his big problem was is that he doubted Jesus. And he only missed one church service in those 3 years. He only missed one meeting with Jesus and the disciples. Just the one. And he was known as a doubter. Multiple times Jesus said to those disciples, oh, you of little faith. Because they'd be going through a storm and they'd get all discouraged. Those disciples would be all discouraged. They get up. And then he'd have to, and then he would speak to the wind and the waves and they'd become calm. And then they would ask, what kind of guy is this? Like they still didn't realize what they had seen. But it was like they didn't realize that that could happen. Of course, we have that account. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John at our disposal. In their days, Jesus' ministry was still going on. So they didn't have the account to read it. We have the account to read it. And I know during COVID, during the initial lockdown, the lockup, there's times that I've wanted to call it the shut up. shut up and do what Fauci says. That's why the shut up is actually a good name for it, don't you think?
To a degree,
it is. But anyhow, during the initial quarantine phase, from late March to late May, early June, depending on your state, It'd be so easy to just get so discouraged and almost like, okay, what have I got to live for now? Well, you know, it is Jesus. I didn't say that, but it would have been so easy to get so discouraged, you know. And when you're going through tons of stuff, you know, like you've got someone in your family fighting something really bad, it could be really easy to get so discouraged. But you got to stay encouraged. You got to keep your faith up. You got to check yourself and see, how's my tithe, example? You know, what's my mouth like? How's my church attendance been? How has it, you know, the various things. And you just got to examine yourself. And then you got to stay in the Word. Got to stay in the Word. That means you're always keeping your trust in the Lord. And faith is a substance, not only is it a substance of things hoped for, it is also faith. Faith is also trust in the Lord, trusting that the Lord would do what he said that he would do in his word, and believing that it'll be seen to fruition. And sorry about that. I was just checking my clock. I know I still have a lot of time, but of course, so that I kind of stick to you know, the time plan. That's why I was looking at my clock every so often. But you know, you have to. You have to keep your nose in the book. Also, you can't give in to fear. Don't give in to fear. And even now, fear is all around. You know, people are afraid. There's people that are so afraid to send their kids back to school this next month in September that it's unreal. But if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to fear. Instead, put your trust in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. And and when I look, I can see where and how people are just so fearful still regarding this whole virus thing. But Jesus is on your side, then you don't have the same amount of reason to be afraid. Now, yes, use wisdom, yes. But that's different from walking in fear. And there's this fear-faith thing. The more faith you have, the less fear you will have. The more fear you will you have, the less faith you will have. If you are faithful, you are fearless. If you're fearless, I mean, if you're faithless, you are fearful. If you are fearless, then you are faithful, full of faith. And that's a Because faith and fear, you can't be full of faith and full of fear at the same time. Can't do that. I'm being the things I'm believing God to do. I can't just go into fear mode. I can't. If I do, then, and I give into it, that fear, that's why I refuse to live in fear. I'm living in faith instead. And I believe that God is going to do some things in the latter part of this year. I believe God's going to turn some things around. I'm not just talking about COVID either. I'm talking about period. And I stand on the word. My prayer is that you do also. Now at my church, my pastor testified. I mean, he prophesied at the start of the year that 2020 would be a year of plenty. I mean, it's designed to be a year of plenty. Plenty of breakthrough and miracles for those who live for God and do what he says. But trouble, plenty of trouble for those who do not. Sorry, I was just got an altercation. But like I said, it was designed to be a year of plenty for those who seek after God and do everything he says, but also a year of trouble for those who don't. Not just a year of trouble, but of course a year of plenty of good things for those who seek God. And I believe our time is coming and that we're going to be blessed towards the end of this year. I mean, as we work our way towards the end, like even starting now, I believe God's going to do some things. And, but of course, you got to, but we walk by faith, not by sight. I don't live by what I see. I don't live by what I feel. I live by faith, not by the things I see, by the things I feel, by the things I hear, by the things that MSDNC, fake news, Communist News Network, and ABC's a fake news day. Don't you think for some of those are actually the right names for some of them? For some of them, that's about the truth, isn't it? For some of them, that's about the truth, isn't it, for some of them?
So.
Yeah, because some of those, that's what they are. But I believe what I believe what the word of the Lord says. And yes, I listen to, various, but good, solid, news organizations that I have their apps on my phone. Luckily, I have the app on my phone. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to find it through Google because Google blocked it. But anyhow, ultimately, I live by this, what the word of the Lord says. I live by faith. That's how you're supposed to live, by faith. And realize that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things through Christ who strengthens me, not through CNN, not through what the latest this other book says, but through Christ who strengthens me. And nothing is too hard for the Lord. Nothing. And so, and there's various accounts that it gives towards the end of Hebrews 11 where it talks about by faith Moses and, you know, Enoch walked with God, Joshua and Jericho, and all those different things that took place. Of course, tonight we're going to read about Daniel and the lion's den and King Nebuchadnezzar, who issued decrees, or what we could call in this day and age executive orders. And so we're going to talk about that. But first, before I do that, I want to remind you of the three homework assignments. Number one, every day you should be reading Psalm 23 out loud to your family. Number two, read Psalm 91 every day. And number three, every day, just look up to heaven, curse that virus, curse it at noon. Laugh if you want, but I do. I look up to heaven. You got to curse that thing and bless the Lord. You got to curse the virus, bless the Lord. And we have to curse this. There's a couple of different things about it we have to curse. But one of them is Koran. Koran is the demon that's led to so much of this fear about the virus. And has caused a lot of different things. It's not an official name. It's just a name that me and some others have come up with. And all you do to get Koran is you just take the A off of Corona. In which case, that's a pretty good name for it, don't you think? Koran? It actually works really good, doesn't it?
It does.
And then the other thing, which is behind a lot of these lockdowns and other things, stupid. We have to stop stupid. My pastor even had a sign, you know, in the pulpit that said, stop stupid. And I'm looking for the T-shirt that says it, too, so I can wear it all over. Because we have these fear, we made these fear is a liar shirts back in March, early April. And then they made some fear is a liar masks. Now I'm hoping that they'll make stop stupid ones. But we have to, you know, of course, curse the virus, but bless the Lord. And, you know, we have to curse Koran and stupid. And just believe God that he will, you know, wipe this plague off from the land. Well, we do that, of course, we need to pray that people of this country, people around the world actually will wake up and repent and realize. Because as we read yesterday, we discovered that God said, if my people will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And so, Lord Jesus, I was going to sing right now, but then I felt in my spirit that I was supposed to pray for the United States of America. No. Well, Jesus, I thank you right now for the United States of America. And I just pray for our president that you keep him safe. Thank you, Lord God, that you are working on behalf of this nation. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that I pray, Lord God, that you are working, that you are healing America of this coronavirus in the name of Jesus. I pray that in the name of Jesus that these case numbers will drop off and will die off. These case numbers will go way down in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you're healing this country. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that this rioting and looting that's going on in these cities, that would stop right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that we would get respect back for our police officers, as we're to respect those who have authority over us. And I thank you that we would get our respect back for police officers. Thank you for the Constitution. Just thank you, Lord God, that you're working on behalf of America as it needs your help. And I just thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. All right, we're going to sing a couple songs, and then we're going to go to the book of Daniel, and I'm going to teach on Daniel and the lions. Like I said, we're going to sing a couple of songs. You're the God of this city. You're the God of this people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the King of this people. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done here. You're the light, you're the whole God of this city. You're the King of this people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the King of this nation. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done. This city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done here. Mm-hmm. There is no one like our God. 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 Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done. We believe in you, God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done here. Greater things are still to be done
Your holy prayer.
Your hand upholds me, and I know you love me. I know you love me. At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. The glory fills the highest place. What could separate me now? At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. The glory fills the highest place. What could separate me now? Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's no one greater than you, Lord Jesus. You're so great. You're so marvelous. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're working. That you're working on the inside of us. You're fixing things and you're mending things. Just thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, that you live on the inside of us. Thank you, Lord God, that you, Lord God, you always make a way where there seems to be no way. And I thank you that all this crud that we may have allowed to get into the inside of us, that it will break away from us, that you would just remove it from us. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you for this time of the word tonight, that these listeners would receive everything that you have for them this evening. And I just thank you, Lord God Almighty. And I make my confession over this program tonight. Sponsors and partners, come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program, and most important of all, I claim that this huge amount of souls would come into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program, in Jesus' matchless name. Amen and amen and amen. All right, if you would please, listeners, open up your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. Praise God. We're going to Daniel chapter 6. I'm sorry, listeners. I have apparently beaten you there, because I found where I was going to go before I told you where to go. And next time I should strategize so that I don't do that no more. I mean, I guess it's good to be a little bit ahead, but one of you listeners should beat me once in a while. So we're going to Daniel 6. We're going to begin with verse 1. Of course, I have the NIV. You just study along in whatever version you have, or if you've got the Bible on the app, open the app with me. to, like I said, Daniel 6, 1. And it pleased Darius, I'm going to begin, you should say, now. And it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel was so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct with government affairs, but they weren't able to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor was he negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and they said, "O King Darius, live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree, put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. So he basically signed, like, what you could basically call an executive order. Verse 10 now. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to the Lord, his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group. They found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands. In accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, he prays on attention to you, O King, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, "Remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians who decree your edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you." Stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles. So that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace, and he spent the night without eating, without any entertainment being brought to him. And he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up, hurried to the lion's den. And when he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, has he been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." The king was overjoyed, and he gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in the Lord his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and were thrown into the lion's den instead, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all of their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. All right, now, so what you see here is Daniel is appointed as one of the, basically he's appointed to be one of the leaders. But other people, you know, in their government were looking for something at which to, for which to charge Daniel, because they didn't like him so well. And they were trying to find a way to hurt him, to not help him. And then they decided maybe that has something to do with his God. So they told the king, basically told the king to issue a decree, basically of his own power. So in our day and age, it'd be like an executive order. And this order would say, this order would require that anyone who prayed to anyone other than to the king, Darius, would be thrown into the lion's den. And it was basically so how does this compare to what we lived in, what we live in? Well, lived in recently. Well, in various states, many states, for a while. And still is the case in some places that your church either cannot meet or can only meet with very few people, if they meet at all. And it's a means to stop the church from doing what it was called to do. And I never thought we would see this in America. Sadly, we did. California just did it. More recently, they made it just so that you can't sing. Then they made it so that really you're not supposed to meet together at all in the church. And now you got churches standing up in defiance. At one place in San Diego, they had thousands of people on the beach, but they were having a worship service on the beach on Sunday. Pastor was making a stand. And the stand in Florida, he's making a stand for the Word of God. Well, Daniel, when he learned that King Darius issued a decree, which could be like the equivalent of an executive order, he went home and he said, oh, we got an executive order, but guess what? I'm going to pray to the Lord my God anyway. Windows in his house open towards Jerusalem. Goes up to his house. Even he goes up to his bedroom, prays to the Lord. Three times a day he would do this. One of the times some of the government officials went up there. Because, of course, Daniel at that point was a government official. So they were extra hard on him, I'm sure. So they go up there, he's praying. And so they basically bring Daniel to the king. And King Darius says, well, the order stands. And So he gets thrown into the den of lions. But as he's being lowered into the den of lions, the lions aren't attacking him. You know why? God shut the mouths of the lions. God shut the mouths of the lions. And they could, so that they couldn't bite him. Sure, he was praying in the mouths of the lion. He was praying in the den, even though the lions were all around him. And he obviously was able to sleep. But the king, when he went back to his palace, he couldn't sleep. He didn't eat. And they didn't bring him any entertainment. And so the next morning he goes to see Daniel, and he's all nervous, and he's like, Daniel, did the Lord your God save you? Sure enough, he did. Then he issues a new decree that says that people are to pray to the Lord. And Darius acknowledges that the dominion of the Lord never runs out. Never ends. And that the love of the Lord endures forever. And those who threw Daniel in the den, them, their wife, and their kids, thrown into the lion's den, killed by the lions instantly before they even got to the floor of the lion's den. So in this case, you see, even though the king had issued an executive decree to ban people from praying to the Lord, even though Daniel prayed to the Lord anyway, God protected him, and he did not get eaten by the lions' den, by the lions in the den. But those who actually threw Daniel in there, they got killed instantly by the lions in that den. And for a few minutes here, so what I want to get at is, what is that lion's den moment that you've been in? Like, where you're just trapped. That bad report that you got. Maybe you're one of these high school kids or something, and you get told, I hear you've been praying for your lunch, in the cafeteria, and you need to stop. And then rather than stop, you just keep doing it, and you keep doing it, and you keep doing it, and you keep doing it. Are you going to just cave, or are you going to stand up? And know that the Lord is on your side, and that the Lord wants to fight for you. God is fighting for us. He had previously saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. That even though they were in there, they didn't burn. Yes, they still had to go through it, that fiery furnace, but they didn't burn. And by the way, it was 7 times hotter than usual. Which, trust me, that is some fuego, that's fire. It's real hot. I mean, it was real hot in that furnace. But God delivered them from that. And then God delivered Daniel from that fiery furnace. I mean, from the lion's den. By the king who had not honored God and wanted everyone to just pray to him. So what is that thing? What is that lion's den moment? Maybe you lost, we're going through something in your body, or maybe you lost a loved one or something like that. And then in the end, you came out victorious. As Daniel had that victory. And when that victory was that he came out of the lion's den alive. He came out of the lion's den alive. And the king had a change of heart because he didn't sleep. Obviously, he was very concerned. And I looked, and I was just reading this, and I was just thinking. I think right now about what's going on, what's been going on in some of these states in this country, what some of these mayors have done to the church, some of these governors. I pray that they would have a hard time sleeping at night, would have a hard time, that God would just change their heart, change their mind. And they can think about what they've done to the church. Because they tried to stop, because just as they've tried to, you know, Darius tried to stop Daniel, the governors have tried to stop the church over some virus that you can't, some tiny little virus that you can't see. I don't mean little like it's not serious, but I mean it is serious, but you can't see it, can't hear it, it doesn't speak. And it's called overreach. Just like what Daniel did. I mean, what Darius did to Daniel and to the other people of that country, of that kingdom. Because he told them, you can only pray to me. Can't pray to any other God, including the God of Israel. You pray to the God of Israel, any other God other than me in the next 30 days. Oh, by the way, had Daniel caved? Who knows how long that could have become? Daniel didn't cave. He stood up. I pray that more Christians in America would stand up. More preachers would stand up. And would stand up and realize what's been going on, especially in these states where they still can't meet, like California and such. Thank God that some are. I pray that even more would. And would realize exactly what's going on. And, of course, with it being the last days, the reason I taught you this, I took this time to deal with Daniel in the lion's den, was not just to talk about, you know, Daniel had this victory he went through the lion's den, but also to challenge people to stand up to what's going on. If you're a pastor and you're praying and you haven't opened up your church and you're praying to God to find out when you should open your church, I have an answer. Sunday. Sunday. Open up. Sunday. Sunday. Don't wait. Obey God. Sunday. And you say, will they come? In Jesus' name, they will. And I know some people might not feel comfortable, but make it so they can stream. But Jesus said, do not forsake yourselves the gathering together of the saints, even more so as you see the day of the coming of the Lord approaching. We're in the last of the last days. This is not the time for the church to be shut down. It's not the time to be shut down. It's the time to be open up. People need the church. People need to be able to come in. People need to be able to come in to the house of God and hear the unadulterated word of God preached, to be able to come in and worship, give their tithes and offerings. Like I said, hear the word, come to the altar, and have that experience in the house of God, as that really is needed. And so, when I just think about Daniel, I think of Daniel, and I just think, you know, Daniel, he was a man of courage. He stood up. And he had that great victory. And at my church, we've been open for a couple months. We did that flea market a couple months ago. I mean, back a month ago in June. First, we had that big outreach thing. And then just about a week ago, we had invasion, and the budget was paid for before Friday night even came. Miracle. And that was, by the way, with attendance being down by like 2/3. And Daniel, even though he went through adversity, He won. He didn't give up and just go hide in fear. No. He opened that window of his in his house. And even though those people came in, you know, those other officials came into his house, he did not hide in fear. He admitted what he had done. But he stood by it, saying, nope, I'm not changing it. I'm not changing it. And he stood up. Gets thrown in the lion's den. Comes out. King has a change of heart. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you that we would get this word in our hearts. thank you for what you did, Daniel, and with the Den of Lions, and everything that you did for Daniel. And I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that churches, more and more churches, will continue to open back up for in-person service. And I just thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing, and that we would stand up, that we would, as Christians, that Christians would make a stand and not just hide under a rock somewhere, but where they would stand up for what they believe in and not just be in hiding and asleep. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. So last night, Tigers get a win over the Royals by a final score of 4-3. They hit two home runs in the bottom of the third, a two-runner, and a one, and then a solo shot. A couple batters later, after the two-runner, and they had been down 3-1, and they got hit a one-runner and then a two-runner. So they had been down 3-1. Then in the space of one inning, they make it 4-3. And that's what it stayed the rest of the night. Tigers' bullpen was terrific last night to finish out the game, as was the Royals, pretty good for not allowing any more runs through six more innings of work. The Tigers will be trying again tonight, which started at 7:10. I will be tuning into the game live on 97.7 FM, sunny 97.7 FM here in Midland, in just a couple minutes after I cut it off for the night. And elsewhere in Major League Baseball, MLB has announced that the Marlins will not resume play until this coming Monday due to many of their players testing positive for coronavirus. Now, in terms of high school sports, MHSAA has announced that the low-risk sports can begin practice as early as August 10th. Medium risks later, high risks like football, August 20th. So they'll be doing a phased approach. As for contests, they have not said yet when those will start for football. However, the MHSAA has announced that scrimmages will not be played between two different schools, like the preseason scrimmages here in the fall will not be played. So, as per the football season, who knows? And in case you're wondering, would you be for it? Some of your listeners may be wondering from me, would I be opposed to a spring football season? No. As long as, this is a big caveat to me, because to me this is also really important. As long as the student section, the band, the cheerleaders, and all that get to be there. Otherwise, it's not worth having a season. And some of your listeners might say, well, Miracle Man, don't be so harsh. Well, football games aren't the same without any of that stuff, are they? They're not the same without the cheerleaders, the band, the student section, the fans in the stadium. Help make the game what it is. And last I checked, there's no high school football game on video games like what the Tiger, like what MLB has for crowd noise and stuff. Don't have it. So, we'll see what happens. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I pray that, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have kept your angels all around us to keep us in all of our ways. And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody. Do I have...